760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Where's Allison?
She's sick today.
Oh, well, I'm sick emotionally because I just love having Allison here, but...
I know. I'm bummed, too.
I'm bummed. But you know what? She needs to be taking care of herself, so looks like it's a two-man show today.
You and me, Josh.
You and me.
We got it.
There it is. I'm going to call it the man cave.
One thing I will mention, though, I'm going to let a little secret out.
Don't tell them. Okay.
Some portions of this show are pre-recorded.
What?
So you're going to hear Allison on some pieces coming up here in a little bit, but she's not here right now.
Okay. Okay. So she's time traveling.
Did you realize some things were pre-recorded?
No, I didn't. Yeah. I was just riveted the whole time. All right, well, I'll just say a quick prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, since Allison's not here, I'm going to dig deep and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Amen.
Glory be to the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, as
it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Well, why not use the greatest hits? That's what I always say.
That's it.
So I was praying in our beautiful chapel where we have adoration and mass. We're going to have mass there today. And this verse hit me. I just happened to open to it. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. It says, So then, our friends, stand firm and hold on to those truths which we taught you both in our preaching and in our letter. And we had a priest here giving mass, saying mass recently, and he dared people in the room to quote scripture. Now, a bunch of people threw out some quotes, but when he said cite it, the hands went way down.
Yeah.
You know, so he was saying that really the importance and accentuating the importance in Catholics, not just memorizing scripture, but memorizing the exact, you know, exact, chapter, verse, all that good stuff.
Our Protestant friends are very good at that.
A lot of them run circles around us. So. I think that this is my memory verse for today. And really, what's so important about this, too, from just like an apologetic stance, is a lot of people might argue for sola scriptura, but we would say, you know, our faith is really rooted in, culminates in the really scripture and tradition, right? The fullness of this deposit, really highlighting the early church received faith through scripture and apostolic tradition working together, is Christ didn't leave us a book alone, but apostles who lived and taught his words. And I remember I heard an argument, actually a debate one time between Patrick Madrid and Dr. James White, who is a Protestant apologist. And he said, okay, well, what tradition is essential to salvation? And Patrick Madrid replied, the canon of scripture. I thought, wow, that's a pretty intense mic drop moment. And so realizing that this book we hold in our hand is actually birthed out of apostolic tradition, because how was it canonized but really through the discernment of the church?
Give me a lot to chew on this morning, Josh. So, yeah.
So what's going on in your world?
I had to turn the wipers on the way in this morning.
Okay. See, I like it. We're balancing each other out. That's good.
A little drizzle this morning, but yeah.
You know, I stole Dave's parking spot the other day. How did you feel about that?
Well, it doesn't have my name on it or anything. I just park there every day. It's just what I do. I've been doing that for...
But
years
you
now.
Get here early. You get here what, like 5 a.m.
for? Well, sometimes, but usually it's 6:30 somewhere in there.
Goodness, that is very impressive. 5 a.m. I don't even know. I'm still.
Well, I drive from Buford, so I have to beat the traffic.
Okay.
If I leave like at 6 o'clock, I'll be late.
Really?
Yeah.
How long is it if you leave at 6?
If I leave at 6, it's taken me. I left at 10 after 6 one time. Got here at 7:40, so an hour and a half.
Oh, that's pretty.
But if I leave the house at 5:30, I can be here before 6:30.
So if you leave after 6, it's a hostage situation.
Pretty
is what
much.
You're telling me. Wow.
Pretty much.
Well, what do we got on the agenda today, my good friend?
Oh, we got a lot of good stuff. Father Adam Blatt is going to be in to reflect on today's gospel reading. We've got Chuck is coming in with talking about St. Paul of the Cross. Ruth O'Neill is going to be back talking about boundaries with boundaries with teenagers.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and also we've got some special guests coming in. They're going to be talking about retreats, some familiar faces.
Oh, some of our favorites.
Yeah, we're going to be talking with Mari Cleveland and Craig Wiesmeyer from The Family Room coming up next.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest.
Is it?
Finding joy in the journey. With Josh and Allison.
We are here with Mari Cleveland and Craig Wiest. Did I say that right?
Wiesmeyer.
Wiesmeyer. See, I'm just making sure you know, okay?
I don't, so I'm glad you asked me.
If we do the German pronunciation, it's...
Wiesmeyer.
There we go.
But can't I, you know, like, we got Wiesmeyer in the house. It just kind of sounds fresh. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of like has a, I don't know, urban flair to it. Well, I'm so happy. I love y'all's show, by the way.
No, thank you.
If you guys have not been so privileged to check out the Family Room, it is a delight. And not only are they great interviewers and amazing hosts, but they get the best guests. I'd argue some of the most high-profile guests in the Catholic world. I mean, they've had everyone but the Pope, but you're announcing today that he is coming on the show.
He'll be on in a couple weeks.
Okay.
He's got a few other things to take care of first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you guys have something big on your hearts that you wanted to talk about today, but also I think corresponds with a big event you guys have coming up, too. So, yeah, love to hear what is going on in y'all's world.
Well, we're talking about retreats.
Retreats.
And the importance of them. And I was saying, I need to go on a retreat.
Mm. Yeah.
But why,
yes, you do.
Why do I need to go on a retreat? What's in it for me?
It's always got to be about you.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah,
no, it's interesting, right? Because we talked earlier about CHRP, right? Mm-hmm. Christ Renews His Parish. And I grew up with CHRP back in the 70s in my parish in Ohio.
I didn't know it was around that long.
It was. Yeah, we used to do four of them a year, two men, two women,
really?
And then you did a youth. So it's a way to get away. And then in my world, though, over time, I found that silent retreats, the world's gotten so busy, the world's gotten so crazy, that going on a silent retreat, whether it's a two-day or a four-day, literally no phones, no speaking after a certain hour, and you just immerse yourself in the teachings of whoever's doing the presenting. And in our case, it's Ignatian spirituality. So it's the Ignatius spiritual retreat. And it's awesome because you're silent. You can really hear God's voice. And it disconnects you from what's going on in the world and helps you focus on what's going on in my life, what do I need to do better, and then what am I going to do next year?
What's the longest silent retreat you've done, Craig?
4 days.
4 days.
Really?
She can't believe I can be silent for 5 minutes, so that's why she asked that question.
So, now, is that like silent like the entire 4 days, or is there like...
So when you have Mass, you can sing.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
But what about, though, so I've done a couple close to 8 days, I think two, but they may have been more like 6 to 7. However, you could talk to a spiritual director. Do y'all
yeah,
have that?
No, you can do confession, you can do spiritual direction, but you can't interact with each other. You can't interact with your phones.
No Facebook.
No. No FaceTime, no Facebook, no nothing. But, yeah, I mean, again, the whole idea is when God puts something on your heart, contemplate it, pray through it. Don't just turn to your buddy or whomever's with you and then start having a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, though, Mari? I'm taking up the whole time here.
No, you're good. So I have not done a silent retreat.
What?
I know. I want to do it.
I'm furious. I haven't either. I should do that.
Yeah, Josh.
Well, I'm impressed with an 8 day, though. I've never done one of those.
Yeah,
I can't imagine.
I mean, so some people, I think, just hug it and embrace it and love it. But I mean, for me, I'm just getting pretty squirrely by day 6 or 7. In fact, the spiritual director on the retreat, he would have little times he would we'd have little slots you could sign up to have direction with him. He was a Dominican priest, and he could just tell that, you know, I was getting a little bit undone, I think. And so it's not everybody would sign up for the available slots.
So Josh took all of them. So he
would come up to me actually and say, Josh, why don't you take those two spots right there? Like, I know you're going to need it.
So Josh twitching in the corner.
And what I went to, I also, when I was, went was on one, and this is when I was in seminary, and I went into confession during a silent retreat, and some priests kind of go into spiritual director mode in confession, so you get out of the confessional, and it's like, look, I did not just rob a bank, okay? He was talking to me for a long time. He wanted to chat, and it was one of those things, and so one of my friends was like, what were you, like, you were in there for so long. I was like, I was just kind of bored, to be honest. You know, he was kind of furious. I was kidding, but I don't know.
Working out some of your new stand-up
routines.
Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, speaking of that, yeah, I was standing behind my husband in reconciliation one time, and the line is getting longer and longer. My husband's in there with the priest, and he's in there forever, and I'm thinking the same thing, like, what on earth? And all we can hear, though, is laughter coming out. Like, they're both laughing hysterically in the confessional. It was, yeah, great. Okay, so you asked me my favorite retreat. So I am not a silent person, unfortunately. I probably should be. But I made a Curcio, which a lot of people know about, when I was 23.
And what is that?
So Curcio is kind of like Christ Renews His Parish, except it's the entire archdiocese. So it's the same format. So it's more of a communal retreat where people are giving witness. Mm-hmm. And at 23, as a young Catholic, it was the first time that I realized not only how much God loved me, but how to have a 24-hour relationship with God instead of just a few times a week relationship with God. And it totally revolutionized my life. It changed my life, and it gave me a hunger and thirst for scripture. It gave me a hunger and thirst for more of God. And it happened at a time in my life when my mom had just been diagnosed with cancer. I was going to be leaving my job and going and living with her and taking care of her because my dad was overseas working. And so somebody sent me on the retreat just to fortify me, which it did. And it not only fortified me, but it basically changed the direction of my life. It was incredible. Yeah. So then Curcio is archdiocesan wide. CHIRP is kind of like that same format, but at a parish level. So yeah, we had CHIRP at our parish as well. I've loved it and made hundreds of beautiful new brothers and sisters in Christ through it.
I think everybody comes to the first realization of a personal relationship with Christ on a retreat versus you know, the head knowledge.
Right.
I think a retreat drives it into your heart when you're open to it. And it's really, and again, when you give God time, money, whatever it is, he multiplies it.
Right.
And when you go sit in silence with God, or you go to any retreat and sit with God, he's going to pour into you far more than you're pouring into the retreat, to be honest.
Right. I know we're running short on time. I just want to mention we do have a retreat coming up.
Yeah.
If you've probably heard the ads, but November 15th to 17th, we're going to be down at Heritage, which is the beautiful new retreat center.
Now, I haven't been there, but you have been, right?
We both have.
It's the Ritz-Carlton of retreat centers.
Is it really? It's just gorgeous.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, the cottages are gorgeous. The space is beautiful. The prayer walks, the art.
And the history alone, too, is incredible.
It was the first Catholic church
in Georgia.
Centered on that part. Mm-hmm. They came down from Maryland, I think it was.
Yeah, the first Catholic settlement in Georgia. Yeah. Yeah.
And I believe you guys are helping to lead, y'all are leading the retreat. Mara, you are just so full of wisdom. Craig, you're a licensed spiritual director. You got your degree at University of Phoenix online, I think. No, but you
stayed at a Holiday Inn Express. Yeah.
No, but this guy, yeah, you've got some serious credentials. So, I mean,
honestly, our retreat is going to be more us sharing what we've learned from, as you said at the beginning, the amazing guests that we've had on the family.
And I'm so impressed.
We've
every
had
week
150
I see
amazing guests.
I can't believe. I mean, you guys get the cream of the crop in the Catholic world, a spiritual giant. So that is going to be such a gift to all participants. I highly, highly encourage.
So if
attending.
I want to go on this retreat, how do I find out about it? Where do I go? What do I do?
Follow us.
I need to know.
Yeah, so if you go to the event page here on the Quest, so on the Quest event page, there is a link and you can sign up there.
That's both on the Quest Atlanta app and also thequestatlanta.com.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And also, we've got a great show coming up on the Family Room. Dr.
Brachowski.
Thank you.
Or you can call him Dr. B. That's a little easier. But Craig and John that day were both out. And so I got the pleasure of teaming back up with our dear friend here, Josh. So Josh and I got to interview Dr. Brachowski. It was an amazing interview.
Amazing.
Yeah. So if you want to hear about life and somebody who was abortion-minded who turned from giving abortions to actually giving life-affirming health care, you want to listen to that interview. He was amazing.
And it's pretty dramatic. That's all I'm going to say about that. Tune in.
Yeah, Morning Show listeners heard an excerpt yesterday, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
yeah.
Mari and Craig from the Family Room, thank you so much for stopping in this morning.
Absolutely.
Our pleasure.
In today's world, cybersecurity is critical for your business. Award-winning VerseBright provides solutions to protect your company from hackers. For protection now, see VerseBright.com. That's VerseBright.com. The Quest thanks VerseBright for their support.
Women and families in need of pregnancy support do have options. Pregnancy Aid Clinic, a Catholic pregnancy resource center in Metro Atlanta, offers free medical services, advocacy, parenting classes, baby supplies, and more. If you need help or can help, go to PregnancyAidClinic.com.
Ladies, are you having trouble conceiving? Are you looking to regulate your cycles and balance your hormones? RHM Gynecology focuses on the root cause of your symptoms. Start feeling better and stay healthy longer. More information at RHMGYN.com.
The Quest presents Pro-Life Minutes.
Did you know science has already proven that at fertilization, a sperm and egg unite to form a unique human being with DNA separate from that of the mother? Yet, the argument today is not whether that new life is a human being inside the mother's womb. The argument is one of choice. We are told that a mother's right to choose to kill her unborn daughter trumps the daughter's right to choose to not be killed by her mother. What happened to women's rights? Only some women have rights, not all women. Many young women are never given the right to choose if they want to live or die. It's time to take a stand for life. All human life matters. So let's show the world that every life matters by speaking up for life at every opportunity.
For more homegrown wisdom, visit thequestatlanta.com.
Hi, I'm John Crisani, and I belong to St. Peter Chanel Catholic Church in Roswell. And you're listening to AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio.
Hi, this is Anna Mitchell. Join Matt Swaim and me tomorrow morning from 6 to 8 for the Sunrise Morning Show on AM 1160 The Quest. But now, let's return to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
Father Adam from Christ Our King and Savior in Greensboro, Georgia. Good morning, Father.
Good morning, Josh. Good morning, Allison. As always, it is so good to be here. Today, we're continuing with the Gospel of Luke. Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" He answered them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has risen and locked the door, then will you stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open the door for us.' He will say to you in reply, 'I do not know where you are from.' And you will say, 'We ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets.' Then he will say to you, 'I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers.' And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out, and people will come from the east and the west, and from the north and the south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." Yeah, that's what you want to hear on your commute to work. it's some strong words. What's he saying here? He's saying that, listen, you know, so often, you know, people just check a box.
Yes.
You know, they're going through the motions. They, you know, it's Sunday, I go to Mass, and then I'm going to the football game, or I watch football, or I'm going to do this. They're not making Sunday this intentional day, or they're not praying with this intentionality in their faith. You know, it's I've got to do dot, 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 and so we just check it off, and we move on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. Instead of, you know, really relishing and being in that moment of those things. And so what Christ is saying here is basically, listen, that's not going to cut it. You know, he's saying, listen, a lot of people just go through the motions. A lot of people attempt to enter but aren't strong enough. Those people who just go through the motions are the ones who maybe lack that fortitude, that perseverance, I should say, to get all the way, to make that to the finish line. You know, and he says, listen, why is that? Why is it that so few are going to be able to enter through that narrow gate? Well, because what? Because they didn't live it. They're not living it. Going through the motions doesn't mean we're living our faith. Jesus says, listen, you know, you're going to knock at the door and he'll say, I don't know where you're from. Who are you? And we're going to reply, you know, we ate with you, we drank with you, we listened to you in our streets. What does that sound like? What do we do when we come to Mass? We eat with Jesus, yes. We drink Jesus, we listen to his yes. word. I mean, that's what he's talking about here. We're going to Mass, we're doing these things, but we're not living it. We're not being intentional with it. So it's not enough. He's saying, listen, it's not enough to just eat and listen to the word of God. You have to then go out and live that word of God. And, you know, at the end of every Mass, your deacon, or if you don't have a deacon, your priest, what does he do? After that final blessing, he sends you out. He dismisses you. You know, the Mass is ended. Go in peace. You know, love and live and serve the Lord. He's not saying, you know, you go to Mass. Okay, congratulations. You had this. Now you're done. No, it's you've had this. Now what are you going to do with it? You know, how are you going to live this gospel message? How are you going to live the existence of the Eucharist within you? I mean, when you think about what's happening to you, not just in a spiritual sense, but even a physical sense, you've now consumed the creator of the universe. You've now consumed the one who made you. You know, God himself is now dwelling in you right after communion, the same way he's dwelling in that tabernacle, the same way he dwells in adoration. And so now that he is in you, what are you going to do with him? How are you going to go out into that world after that Mass, and how are you going to let people know? I'm not saying go around with a big sign saying, God's inside me. They might come pick you up real quick. But how is through your actions and through your words, how are people going to know that you've become this living embodiment, this living temple for the divine, for God? It's not enough that we eat and listen. We have to live this out for others, for ourselves, but for others as well.
Yeah. I think about that phrase, I'd rather see a sermon and hear a sermon.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So when we receive the Lord, are our lives reflective of the message he's trying to get us to not just preach, but live? I mean, if you pass a homeless person on the street, he's asking for food, he's asking for water, and you said, Jesus loves you, and then you just keep cruising.
Yeah.
What does he say? Depart from me. I didn't know you. Recently at an event, I saw a couple of homeless people and was able to provide some food and beverage for them, non-alcoholic, of course. I hope so. You know, there have been times it made me shudder because a week before, outside of a church, there was somebody who was just having a psychological distress.
Yeah.
And you could tell I could have offered him something. Hey, do you need something? But instead, it was a group of us, and we kind of walked by, and one of the people just commented, well, you know, some people are just kind of beyond help in the psychological field. And I thought, man, that's going to haunt me because I just kept walking, you know? Yeah. And so it's just this is what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, sometimes that happens. I mean, you have to make I'm not telling anybody who's listening that they need to go out to every underpass and every street corner and find homeless people. You know, I mean, there are dangerous people out there. You need to use your common sense. You need to be aware. But at the same time, you need to be Christ, you know, and you need to be sure that you're, you know, being pastoral in a safe way, obviously.
And it doesn't just, and that goes for any multitude of circumstances. It might be your kids, your friends, whatever, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That pastoral spirit and that being Christ to others and living that gospel, you know, like you said, you know, seeing a sermon, not just hearing a sermon, that has to be lived in everybody and not just the homeless guy we meet on the street, but in every person we encounter. You know, and we're all going to drop that ball. You know, you talk about how that haunts you. Even priests, we mess up sometimes too. You know, believe it or not. You know, I gave a homily one time. It was all about, you know, God giving you the opportunity to speak to people. And, you know, whenever that opportunity presents itself, you should speak up. You should, you know, evangelize when, you know, however you can, whenever you can, when those opportunities present itself. And it was one Sunday, and I got done with all the masses. I preached this homily about being present and doing that. And I was so exhausted after Mass. All I wanted to do was go grab lunch and go back to the rectory and just veg out. I was exhausted. And so I go over to Publix and I get one of those pub subs. I love the pub subs.
Yeah.
And I'm at the counter. I'm still in my clerics, my collar. And so this woman sees me and she says, oh, you a preacher man. And I said, well, yeah, I'm the priest, the pastor across the street. And she starts going on about well, that's wonderful. I have such respect for you. Oh, thank you. And but really, it's all the same God. It's all the same religion. And she goes on and on and on about how we're really just all going to the same place. She meant well, but it was riddled with heresy. And a 30-second conversation would take that whole house of cards crumbling down.
Yeah.
But I was so exhausted, I just wanted to get my sandwich and go. And after the fact, I realized, you know, I missed that opportunity. Mm. And every time I go to Publix now, I look for that woman. I say, I am going to find you one day.
Yes.
You know, so it happens. You know, I mean, it's not, you can't be perfect every time, every single time. And so you learn from those. And then, you know, as much as those moments have where, you know, we need to be Christ to others, Christ knows that we're not always going to be Christ to others. And so we need to be aware and to be like, you know, to be aware and to let Christ teach us, like, hey, this was a missed opportunity. You know, what are you going to do next time? To keep that in mind, to keep that in prayer.
And to give us eyes to see and, you know, hearts to know when it's time.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, let us know when we need to do it. Because a lot of people might just, again, go through the motions and not make themselves fully aware.
They have to make themselves aware. They have to live it. They can't go through the motions. Our faith is not a stagnant faith. It is a living faith, a breathing faith. And a living faith wants to, well, wants to live.
Live. Amen. So, Father, what is our takeaway for today?
Today, as you guys are going about your day today, just simply don't go through the motions of your faith. You know, realize that it is a living faith that has to be acted on. And maybe today, realize that when you consume the Eucharist, I've said this in the past, but when you consume the Eucharist, allow the Eucharist to consume you. You know, consume all that Christ did for you. Allow Christ to consume all that you do for Him. The next time you go to Mass, maybe leave Mass and live your faith a little more fully by striving to be Christ to those you encounter.
Amen.
Well, another home run, Father. Thank you. We'll put you back in the bullpen for next time.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.
I'm Dave Savage, and the newly launched webpage Her Story offers a platform for women to share inspiring stories of resilience and support in the face of unplanned pregnancy, according to Pregnancy Help News. These stories tell about the journeys of women who have been helped by pro-life organizations and resources, underscoring that no woman has to face an unplanned pregnancy alone. This initiative is trying to counteract the common misconceptions about the pro-life movement, mainly that the notion that support ends with a baby's birth.
Mm.
You can find more at herplan.org/stories. That's herplan.org/stories. Ahead of the 2025 Jubilee, the Vatican has launched a cartoon mascot unveiled Monday as the cheerful face of the Catholic Church's upcoming Holy Year.
Really?
The mascot named Luce, which in Italian means light.
Light. I was going to say loose.
It is intended to engage a younger audience and guide visitors throughout the Holy Year. Archbishop, I'm going to probably mispronounce this, but Rino Fisichella, the Vatican's chief organizer for the Jubilee, described the mascot as part of the Vatican's goal to engage with, quote, the pop culture so beloved by our young people, end quote. Hmm. The mascot will debut this week at a big convention in Italy for all things comics, video games, and fantasy. And the Vatican's Dicastery for Evangelization will host a space dedicated to Luce and Friends. Clad in a yellow raincoat, mud-stained boots, and a pilgrim's cross, Luce's mission is to guide young pilgrims toward hope and faith with her trusty dog, Santino, at her side.
Nice.
Yeah, if you want to see Luce, just Google Luce mascot. That's L-U-C-E mascot, and some images will pop up there, and you can check it out. It's a cute little mascot. I like it. Coming up this morning, we've got Ruth O'Neill talking about boundaries with your kids, with your teenagers, and coming up next, we've got Chuck coming in here talking about St. Paul of the Cross.
St. Vincent de Paul's mission is to fulfill the two great commandments, love of God and love of neighbor. Live by gospel values while serving neighbors in need. Go to thequestatlanta.com and click on the St. Vincent de Paul, Georgia logo.
The Golden Arrow Prayer, dictated by our Lord to Sister Mary of St. Peter. May the most holy, most sacred, most adorable, most incomprehensible, an unutterable name of God be always praised, blessed, loved, adored, and glorified in heaven, on earth and under the earth, by all the creatures of God, and by the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ in the most holy sacrament of the altar. Amen.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. When Father James Keller founded the Christophers in 1945, he chose as our prayer the beautiful words attributed to Francis of Assisi. I'd like to share them with you now. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Linda, a parishioner at All Saints Catholic Church in Dunwoody, and you're listening to AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
Dr. Ray Guarendi here. It's back to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
Chuck Persner, parishioner at St. Michael the Archangel Catholic Church in Woodstock. Chuck, welcome back.
Thank you, Allison. It's good to be with both of you.
Well, I'm so glad you're here.
Speak for yourself, Chuck.
Yeah, I know.
No, I'm just kidding. You make this studio so much better. You do, man. Gosh, I mean, every day I'm just basking in the awesomeness and the holiness of these riveting individuals you bring into our studio. I'm living vicariously through these guys. Thank you.
I do too sometimes. I really enjoy putting myself in their shoes and going back to the time frames where they lived, just what they went through.
Well, and it's beautiful. They're prayer partners. That's what's so amazing. Learning about them so we can understand them and relate, and we can call them intercession.
Yeah. And you know, to that point, I oftentimes go to the Catholic.org website, I think it is. Mm-hmm. I look up all the saints that are being celebrated that day. Because Ooh. Today there's probably 15 to 17 saints, and I ask for their intercession, and some of them are so hardly well known at all. Wow. I feel like I almost have a private audience with them.
Yeah.
You know, because who's
That's
seeking their intercession
really
today?
Cool.
So, in fact, that when I finish up my daily rosary, I do my litany of saints, and I call upon every saint, because I believe their intercession is particularly powerful on their feast
day. Are there some days where there's 50 of them?
I think the most I've ever seen was in the high 30s. Yeah, it can get up there.
But aren't there over 10,000 saints?
There are. So, you know, start to do the math on that, divide by 365. But I was told there would be no math.
Okay.
So I'll stop right there.
But guess what? Feast of All Saints coming up.
That is. And just
this Friday.
Yeah, so, you know, today I thought we would talk about a saint who may very well have the coolest nickname of all the members of the Communion of Saints. I think he's maybe in competition with St. Kateri, the Lily of the Mohawks.
Mm-hmm.
But today we have St. Paul of the Cross, who is known as the Soul Hunter.
Oh, I like
Whoa.
That. Yeah. Like I was saying before we came on the air, I've always had a particular devotion to and fondness for the saints who were letter writers. Three of my favorites, for that matter.
Mm.
The first one would be St. Catherine of Siena,
mm-hmm.
who, in fact, her letters are still in circulation. I think about 332
wow.
of them are still out there. You could read them. So you could read the spiritual advice that she would give to her spiritual children,
wow.
for lack of a better term. There was St. Valentine, the early bishop and martyr, ultimately executed for marrying couples when that was illegal.
Mm-hmm.
He would stay in contact with his couples, and he would sign his letters, Your Valentine.
Wow.
And that's where we get Valentine's Day
that's
cards.
That's amazing.
You know that, Josh.
I did not know that, mister.
And then, of course, that brings us to our saint today. And I have with me, of course, visual props are never great for radio. But you two can see it. My Lenten journey, I go on the same journey with St. Paul of the Cross every year during Lent.
Wow.
Portions of his letters are included in this book.
Nice.
And it was written by Father Victor Hoagland, who just does a tremendous job with this book.
Wow.
He breaks down the daily readings and then finds a portion of a letter that St. Paul of the Cross wrote to one of his spiritual children. And it's particularly relevant to that reading for that day. St. Paul of the Cross, his feast day actually fell on a Sunday this year.
Okay.
It fell on October 20th. So for our non-Catholic listeners, when that does happen, the saint is superseded That's your fancy word of the day. Because, you know, Sunday is, of course, our Lord's Day, mm-hmm. the day that death lost, and nothing takes priority over that.
Amen.
And our saints, of course, understand that. But with this free day on the liturgical calendar and the month winding down, we thought we would talk about him and see it all works out in the end.
It sure does. You know?
Born in the year 1694, near Turin, Italy. This was particularly tragic. He was the second of 16 children. And only six of those 16 children survived.
Wow.
Born to a devout family. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they had faith in the Lord and continued to give birth with the hopes that their children, you know, would live. And, of course, they bore tremendous fruit with St. Paul and his siblings.
Yes.
But as a young boy, he went to daily Mass, spent a lot of time before the Blessed Sacrament, mm-hmm. you know, which wasn't as popular as it is today. Eucharistic adoration is available mm-hmm. in every parish, but that was not as popular in the late 1600s.
Would they have even had a monstrance back then, or would this just been adoration in front of the tabernacle?
Yeah, that's a good question. It probably was just in front of the tabernacle.
I would think so, but I could be wrong.
You just gave me a homework assignment. I now need to know, when was the monstrance invented?
Yes, that's a great question.
Yeah, whoever did that, he needs to be canonized, mm-hmm. or she.
They really should. Paul of the Cross had really his life conversion right around the age of 20, though. He heard a sermon by a parish pastor, and this is really where his spiritual life kicks into gear. And I think this is, as you read a lot about him, this is where you can tell he was on the verge of deciding. He was about ready to give his life to God. So underwent a very deep and thorough confession. He became profoundly aware of his sin. Asked the priest, you know, what do I do to be unattached from this sinfulness? Mm-hmm. And he always had a deep love for the Passion of Jesus Christ, and in fact went on to form the Passionist Priest. And this is an order which is specifically focused on the Passion and Death of Jesus.
Oh, wow. Really, wow. So important. I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah.
He starts the Congregation of the Passion, Passionists, and they dedicate their mission to the meditation on the Passion of Christ, hence yes. the name, Passionists. Yep. They lived simply, wearing black robes, adored with the emblem of the Passion, and devoted their lives to solitude, penance, and preaching. So these guys, very penitential, man, emphasizing prayer, fasting, contemplation, and believing that this was essential to that deep union with Jesus.
I mean, so devoted was St. Paul of the Cross to the Passion of Jesus, it was said that his heart pulsated faster on Fridays.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is, of course, the day of our Lord's crucifixion. Yeah.
Well, and I have...
To your point, Josh, this was the niche that they had carved out for themselves.
Wow. I've got a quote here from St. Paul of the Cross. "Entrust yourself entirely to God. He is a father and most loving father at that, who would rather let heaven and earth collapse than abandon anyone who trusted in him."
Important words, too. We find ourselves on the cusp of the election. Mm-hmm. We see satanic masses going on here in Atlanta and elsewhere. I mean, mm-hmm. nothing new under the sun. This has been going on since, you know, the early days. And we just need to maintain our trust.
Mm-hmm.
We need to stay upbeat. I find myself getting depressed when I hear things like this. But we've got to remember, it's all in God's hands. We got to trust him.
Amen. And keep praying.
Right. Now, Allison, I believe you have a quote for us. Is that right?
This is a good one to really ponder. "The cross is the way to paradise, but only when it is borne willingly." So are we going through life carrying our crosses, complaining about them?
Yeah.
Or are we like, okay, Lord, this cross is here. Let it glorify you. Let it purify me as I walk through it to grow closer to you. Mm. Good question to ask.
You know, I heard this. A deacon told me this joke. A bunch of different people are up in heaven in front of the Lord. There's just a huge graveyard almost of crosses. He says, okay, you can pick out whichever cross you want to walk. He says, you know, the Jesuit priest goes up and grabs the cross and said, this one feels good. Okay, good choice. Mm. Diocesan priest goes up, gets a even heavier cross, picks it up, says, you know, this feels good. Okay, Lord goes, good choice. You take that one. Then a Dominican priest goes up, takes the largest cross ever, tries to lift it up, and the Lord says, you can't take that one. That's for married people. A married man told me that joke, so I can say it.
Well, marriage, it's not easy.
Deacon.
But yeah, you pray together, you go through the challenges together, and you
suffer together, right? Suffering has worth. I don't think the whole world understands that yet, yeah. And it's our job to be soul hunters. As St. Paul of the Cross was, and to explain this to people, because everyone wants to know, why am I dealing with this? And especially if you have the reputation at work as being perhaps the person who goes to Mass,
you're
the holy roller of the group, so to speak. You got to have these answers ready for our brothers and sisters who are going through the tough times.
Amen. Because they need to hear it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Amen.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Chuck. By the way, interesting, he was canonized in 1867 by Pope Pius the Ninth. His feast day is celebrated October 19th. Some regions October 20th, and the Passionists are still alive and cooking today.
Amen. Father Cedric Bazenga is a Passionist.
Wow.
Who's on EWTN, one of my favorites.
Oh, fantastic.
So St. Paul of the Cross, the soul hunter.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio.
You're listening to
The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Well, we're one day away from your kids being hopped up on serious sugar. Watch out. You better pad those walls.
That's right.
Dave, did you have a lot of fun with your kiddos when they were...
Yeah.
Growing up around Halloween?
It was always a blast, yeah.
Yeah.
I loved getting the costumes together and everything, and they loved it, too.
Were they pretty creative with their costumes, or with just kind of
the status quo? They made, a lot of times, they made their own costumes, yeah.
Wow.
Without being, because we're cheap, too.
Okay.
that's the other part of it. But no, I've got some costumes here, and this is a list, Google's annual list of what's trending on Google. It's to help people find the most popular costumes. I'm not endorsing any of these costumes because these are what the secular world is picking out, so I'm not saying these are great costumes to have, just reporting the facts from Google. Godzilla is still on the list.
Godzilla,
yeah,
wow.
At number 25, that's amazing. Shadow the Hedgehog is on the list. Minion, the Minions are so cute.
They are. Yeah, that's always interesting when you have one of those show up at your front door, right?
Yes, absolutely.
They give Wolverine. You candy and pet you, too.
Wolverine is on the list. A Chipotle burrito is on the list.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think I do not want to let you in, okay? I will have to take so many antacids, so just stay out there. I'll give you all the candy you want.
That's right. And also, there was a lot of Beetlejuice costumes from the movie, but the shrunken head Bob from Beetlejuice is the number one Google costume. Yeah. So every costume in the world that you would ever want to know is on this list.
Wow.
Right.
There you go. Well, I'm surprised. Well, how many, but Pope John Paul II comes in at like number 26. He just barely missed it. Am I correct?
That just missed it.
Just missed it.
Okay. Mother Teresa as well.
Wouldn't that be interesting, though, if kids are showing up at your door dressed as saints? And, you know, it was just like this way to kind of spread the gospel of heroic virtue. I don't know. That would be maybe one day, maybe in heaven. But there's a flip side to that. I Googled worst or kind of funniest Halloween costumes. And so I've got a few of them myself.
What are they?
I kind of like this one. You have a basketball jersey and you carry around a box of donuts. Now you're a Dunkin' Donut.
Nice.
I
got to keep this handy, I think, don't I?
Yeah, let's do it. Come on. Give me some goods. Thank you.
There you go.
You're a Dunkin' Donut. Especially, hey, let's be real. At 39 years old, okay, and I'm about 5'10", the only thing I'm dunking is a donut. So that's what's up. All right, so, okay, you dress as a – the food stuff, man. Dress as a taco and add a tiara. Now you're a Taco Bell.
I don't even think that one deserved the rim shot.
I don't think it does either. My goodness. You see, like, yeah, Taco Bell, we've all had some of those late night trips, haven't we? Where you go through that drive through, like, well, I guess I'm going to confession tomorrow. All right. What's the next one? All right. The food ones, man. I don't know. You dress as an avocado with a halo. Do you know what you are?
Avocado with a halo? I don't.
Holy guacamole.
All right. Well,
thank you. I'll be here all week.
And we're going to be talking with Ruth O'Neill, talking about boundaries with your teens next.
Unbelievers often reject religion because it sometimes causes conflict. They'll say, science will fly you to the moon, religion will fly you into buildings. Is this a rational basis for rejecting religion? The answer is no, and here's the reason. First, just because something causes conflict doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. For example, many wars have been fought over land. Does this mean we should do away with the right to private property? I don't think so. Second, The objection doesn't specify which religions cause war. It may belong to the essence of some religions to spread its message by the sword, and these we should reject, but it doesn't belong to all religions. So, to the question, should I reject religion because it causes conflict? The answer is no. I'm Carlo Broussard with the Ready Reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Ruth O'Neill, the Catholic life coach and a parishioner at St. Michael the Archangel Parish in Woodstock, Georgia. Welcome back, Ruth.
Hello, hello. It's good to be back.
Oh, it's good to be back with you, too, because we have been talking about boundaries.
Yes, we have.
And how essential they are in many aspects of our life and relationships. So thrilled to bring up this topic today, boundaries with teenagers. I have one teen, another one is going to be a teen within the next year. So this is information that I desire to know and learn.
And I have the emotional IQ of a teenager. So this is perfect.
So it's going to be beneficial for Josh as well.
Yeah.
So Ruth.
Well, Josh, I look forward to your question.
I know. So Ruth, a basic question, you know, why is it important to set boundaries with our teens? Because at this age, they feel like I've got it all. I know what I'm doing. I can take care of it myself. Why is it so important for us to create those healthy boundaries with them?
Well, so going back to what we have already talked about, boundaries are about self-protection, self-governance, self-control. And the last one we did was as far as how it is a tremendous act of charity to have and hold effective boundaries.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you.
Yes.
Why do you think it's important to set boundaries with your teens?
I personally think to get respect and just to keep things in order, because if there are no boundaries, everything turns into a free-for-all.
So I love that you started with to get respect. So here's the thing. You can set a boundary and they still might not respect you, right?
Yes.
So the idea is, again, right, a great act of charity is to have and hold effective boundaries and for self-control, not other control. And so for what does, I want them to respect me, just get them to respect me. Does that sound a little bit like other control?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm not saying that it doesn't elicit that. What I'm saying is that can't be our central motivator. Our motivator is that you are, in and of yourself, Allison, called to have and hold effective boundaries for yourself.
Yes.
For yourself. And what that does is it sets an example. It illustrates a way of being, of balance, of relational peace and tranquility, right?
Yes.
For our teens. Now, our teens don't always like boundaries. They don't like to come up against a no or a limitation on their time or anything like that. And so I like to say what God called us parents to be is like oak trees. Have you ever seen those live oaks on the barrier islands?
Yes. Stand tall, I mean, and strong.
Oh my gosh. Hundreds and hundreds of years old. And they have withstood hurricane after hurricane, right? That's the image we as parents are called to be.
And I love to hear that, Ruth, because you know what? Sometimes when you're in the thick of it, it's hard to imagine that, but we're called to, in the storms, be strong and be firm and not to waver with the emotions that are happening with teens or with our children.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's their job to figure things out, right? It's their job to rattle the cage and beat the fence. It's their job to figure out where they begin and end. So imagine if you don't have boundaries, how are they going to figure out where they begin and end?
They won't.
No, it'll be harder for them for sure. So why not do it inside the home? Why not set some really great boundaries for them to, you know, bang up against and get frustrated with so that they have the safety of the home to do all of that inside, right?
Yes.
So that when they go out into the world, they understand what that means. They understand that they do have limits, that they do, you know, have to operate within some constraints.
Yeah. Here's the first boundary I think all of y'all need to set for your teens. Flip phones. I said it.
I know, yeah.
Flip phones.
Yes.
The only TikTok you're getting is on a grandfather clock, okay?
Amen, Josh. Amen.
They might lose their minds, but
we're going to be oak trees. We're going to be oak trees. So, Ruth, another question. So, how do you communicate consequences when your teen, you know, has crossed a boundary that they were not supposed to? How would you direct somebody in that respect?
Yeah, I love that question. So, first of all, we don't communicate the consequences when the teen has crossed the line. So we have to think super clearly about household rules, right? Household boundaries. What does that even mean? And so, you know, either, you know, with your spouse or if you're a single parent, you come up with those, you agree upon those, and then you clearly communicate those inside your household. These are the rules. These are the boundaries. This is what is expected. If you choose not to adhere to this, you are also going to choose this consequence. Does that make sense?
It makes absolute sense. Explaining everything. So it's their choice.
Absolutely. In fact, that's a really great point, Allison. You want it to be their choice. The older they get, the more you want it to be their choice. That doesn't change your household rules, doesn't change your household boundaries. It just gives them the opportunity to say yes or no. Well, when they say no to your boundary, then guess what? They also say yes to the consequence, and they know that. That's because it's been set up beforehand. Clear communication. In fact, for it to be an effective boundary, you have to name it. You have to clearly communicate it, so verbally, along with, if you don't, then this is what you'll choose, right?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes absolute sense.
Yeah.
Absolute sense. And now, for those out there that maybe do not have clear boundaries with their teens at the moment, what kind of advice would you give them in regards to now? Where do they start?
Just start. I mean, like, just, you know, it all starts within, right? You have to sort of take an inventory, a self-inventory. So look inward. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And be a tree and know, like you were saying before, Ruth, that there is going to be pushback. You know, there is going to be, that is ultimately the goal of the child, because they're trying to find their way. They're trying to figure out what's going on. But we as parents and as, you know, adults have to be strong and just explain the rules, you know, and then they make their decisions.
Yeah. And what I mean by take a self-inventory is, where are my own boundaries weak? Right? Mm-hmm. What kind of example am I setting? And start there. And the thing to make note of, and I love that you just brought the tree back in, the oak tree back in, is knowing that when you make a change, it is going to come with resistance. Mm-hmm. They aren't going to like it. Just expect it. And it doesn't mean it's wrong or it's, you know, that you're doing it poorly or anything like that. It just means, well, hello, you haven't been doing it. And all of a sudden you're changing the rules of the game. So there's going to be some pushback.
I am so grateful again for listening to these wonderful tidbits you have. And again, I am never going to get the oak tree out of my head. Whenever there is something going on at home, I'm going to visualize myself being an oak tree. So what a beautiful, beautiful reminder for me as well. So, Ruth, thank you again so much for sharing this wonderful information about boundaries. And I can't wait to talk to you again about another topic on boundaries in our lives that we experience. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Well, I hope you've been inspired, moved, touched, all those good things, and have a little joy for the journey and can share that joy with other people. In fact, if you really want to be inspired, tune in at, Dave, is it 11 o'clock?
11 o'clock today, yeah.
11 o'clock. So, Mari Cleveland and myself, I was kind of pinch hitting for their great show, The Family Room. We will be talking with, in this, Dr. John Burchowski. Now, this description and summary is from Catholic News Agency and Christian Daily, but shows, again, this guy is kind of a big deal. Dr. John Burchowski, once an abortion provider, returned to his Catholic faith after a profound encounter that reshaped his understanding of life sanctity. Although he initially performed abortions, viewing them as essential to health care, a critical moment in his residency made him question in this practice, leading to a spiritual conversion. Inspired him to establish Tepeyac OBGYN in Virginia, a pro-life clinic that offers compassionate, life-affirming health care through his foundation, Divine Mercy Care. Dr. Brachowski now advocates for pro-life values in medicine, encouraging a model of care rooted in Catholic teachings on the dignity of every life from conception to natural death.
And it's a fascinating program that we've got coming up today at 11 o'clock. You really want to catch it.
Yeah, one of the most substantial, if not the most substantial interview I've ever gotten to be a part of.
But before then, we've got at 9 o'clock, Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. She's going to have Tom Nash with Catholic Answers talking with Teresa about studying Scripture. And then at 10 o'clock is More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. The Grace to Let Go. Having trouble letting go of the past, of past hurts, the Popchecks help you find healing and freedom. And we want to wish Allison the best this morning. She wasn't in this morning, although you did hear her on a couple of the segments, but those were pre-recorded. We don't tell people that.
Don't tell anybody. Yeah. Well, we miss you, Allison. Feel better. Don't eat too much candy because we want you back soon, okay?
Absolutely.
So maybe she'll be back tomorrow. Who knows?
Let's hope so, yeah. And then we'll be off on Friday because of the Holy Day.
Oh, yes.
So it'll be a pre-recorded show.
Okay, well, we love you. We are so grateful that you tuned in with us. So let's end this day, or this segment, should I say, the holy way. Aren't you impressed with those rhymes?
Okay. I am.
Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, it is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a blessed day.